From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov.
And I'm Annette John Hall.
Last week, while we were brainstorming new ideas, we decided to take a look at a headline that's been big news recently in Philadelphia.
The iconic flipping board at 30th Street Station with a clickety-clack sound that's greeted countless of passengers over the years will soon be silenced.
Just a cute little story to honor the life and death of Amtrak 30th Street Station's beloved flipboard. We were going to have some fun sound.
Talk to a few commuters.
I will miss the of all the trains coming in at different times.
And send the board off right. But then on Tuesday's broadcast of Radio Times, this happened.
I talked to Amtrak CEO Richard Anderson. He also said, contrary to what has been out there, that this was a done deal, that in fact it wasn't a done deal.
So now, we're not exactly sure whether the board will stay or go.
So today, Plan Philly editor Ariella Cohen takes me through the epic saga of Amtrak's flipboard.
We'll tell you everything we know, from the board's early days in 30th Street Station to the news of its removal and the public outcry that started with a few tweets and ended with a congressman's search for the truth.
Today's show, Flipboard Flip-Flop. Ariella, this thing that we've all heard, this actually has a technical term. What is the technical term?
So it's called a split flap board, and it's an electromagnetic display device. I don't really actually understand why you have to split between the character flaps. It's complicated. There's rubber. There's a motor somewhere in there, but it makes a really pleasing sound.
I would agree that it's pleasing. And the thing that I love about the board is that when you're waiting for a train, you see your train up there on the board, and then you start to hear the flapping, and you don't know what's going to come up. It's almost like watching a roulette wheel. Like, you're not sure if your train's going to be on time or an hour late.
Yeah, and for me, I often get to train stations right at that last moment. So it's really like, wait, do I got that extra 5 minutes? Can I get a cup of coffee? You know, it's always like the dice is definitely rolling in that flip-flop, flip-flop.
So why are they replacing the split-flap board?
Parts are hard to maintain and hard to come by.
So when were these things invented?
They were invented in the 50s, and they became popular, especially throughout Europe and train stations and other transportation hubs. And the first one came to Philadelphia in 1971 when Amtrak came to 30th Street Station.
So there are companies that are still making these boards.
Actually, right here in the Philadelphia region, there's one called Oat Foundry. They are making these displays for all kinds of companies now that are realizing they look cool. They're kind of mid-century modern. They're fun. They're not screens, which is novel. Mark Kuhn, he's a Drexel grad.
And I'm the CEO of Oat Foundry.
He just recognized one day that there was an interest in figuring out how to display information in big, recognizable ways that aren't digitized.
You wake up, you look at a screen, it's your phone, you're at your laptop all day, your car now has a screen in it, you've passed dozens on the way to and from wherever you're headed, even billboards now are screens. I think the reason people love split flaps is because of the authenticity of it. You know that there's motors in there, you know that there's gears of some kind or belts of some kind and flaps away, but the fact that it's so many at once going, it has this enormity to it that is enticing and romantic.
So like, how does it work? How does the information get fed to the board?
So at 30th Street Station, it's actually through Windows 95. One of the Amtrak officials
I remember
that you see,
from high school.
Them right behind the desk. Sometimes they look frustrated. It's because they're using a really old software. Newer split flap manufacturers use newer software.
The board is not original to 30th Street Station, but as you said, it's been there since Amtrak has been in existence. And it's really become a design feature of the station. The Enquirer's architecture critic Inga Saffron argued in a column that Amtrak should actually think about keeping this display. What's kind of the gist of her argument?
She identifies that we are oversaturated with screens. We are drowning in that blue light, and our eyes need a respite.
And if you go to 30th Street Station, there are a lot of screens there already, some of them doing very little. We're in this period where we just see screens as the solution to everything.
We're just looking at something that's not a light coming into our eyes, which,
right.
which I have to say I'm doing right now, reading my questions off of the screen.
Yeah,
I'm as
exactly.
bad as anybody.
Yep, exactly. And we don't want that light. And that light also takes up a lot of energy. So we're creating a lot of energy.
Right. A new board that was a digital display would actually take up more energy than the split flap board, right?
Absolutely.
So the board at 30th Street Station, is it the last split flap board that Amtrak is using?
It is.
So the ones that have been replaced at other stations, some of them have actually been designed to make the sort of click-clack sound that the old split flap boards make?
Right. We are charmed by that sound, and it's become a part of our experience traveling, using transit.
You know, as you walk into the station, you know, people are just drawn to the screen because, of course, you want to know if your train is late or on time and what track. And it's like this public hearth. And then you hear this sound, which very much echoes the sound of the clickety clack of the trains on the track. And you feel like you're going somewhere. Maybe you're going on vacation. Maybe you're going to see a relative. And it just puts you in the mood for travel. It's just a very evocative sound.
So why do you think we still hold on to and why do we still like this, you know, this older technology?
I think part of it is the nostalgia and part of it is because we want the satisfaction of a concrete object, something that is moving, something that you can touch, something that you can feel and that you can hear.
As we become more inundated with digital screens, we really crave analog things. You know, and there's a long list of these analog things because they have sound, they have texture, they have life. I think this is just another case of let me see and look at something that seems like it's been touched by the human hand.
In this moment when we are, like I said, drowning in blue light, and when so much of our surroundings are actually this sort of ethereal, temporal, digital space, we like being able to look at something that we know someone put together with their hands.
So as we mentioned, we're not exactly sure what the fate of the board is, but what is the plan as it stands right now?
It's coming down in January and moving on to the Railroad Museum of Pennsylvania.
And, you know, since the initial reporting on this story, there's been this public firestorm over getting rid of it. Were you surprised that so many people cared this much about the schedule board?
I was. And part of me wonders if we got this noisy about transit in general, would we see faster service? Would we see more buses, the things people are asking for?
A little funny what kind of piques people's interest sometimes.
Absolutely.
So Annette, I know we've been waxing poetic on the split flap board, and I hate to throw cold water on our warm memories, but we did send our producer Kelsey Hansen out to 30th Street Station to talk to people who actually use the board to get passenger information, and here's what they had to say.
It's probably going to be more modern and up to date, and if it's going to go digital, it'll probably help the passengers, I would imagine. And this is the first I've heard of it, but probably new technology is probably the way to go.
It is really hard to read. And especially, I mean, I moved all the way up here just so I could see which track it was on. But I think people would be happier to be able to read something.
Well, I think it's a good idea because this one's been here since I was a little girl. I was born and raised here on my way to Virginia, but I think I'm ready for some automated signs up there for the train.
Why is that?
because this one, it takes too long to turn. It's just flipping. I mean, it was good back then, but now I think we need the update.
Yeah, so they don't necessarily agree with everything we've been saying. So that was Mark Lucier, Judith Spangenberg, and Crystal Coleman. I mean, they kind of have a point, right?
I know this is radio, but do you see my eye roll here?
I see lots of eye roll.
I mean, to each his own, but I think they're probably in the minority. Did anyone say they liked it?
Yeah, there was this one guy Kelsey talked to who actually remembers the flipboard going up.
My name is Alan Hurt. Currently, I live in Johnstown, between Johnstown and the south of France. But I was here in Philadelphia for about 45 years. I moved to Philadelphia in 1967 to attend Drexel, and I lived just outside of Washington, D.C. Now, at that time, the board still had panels on it, and they would change the panels every few minutes. And suddenly, I think it was sometime around 1968, 69, they changed it to the flipboard, and I was absolutely intrigued about how it worked. So to see it leave now just breaks my heart, and I'm sure it's going to end up being some digital thing, but it does have a certain quaintness.
So I love him. So he wants the board to stay, right?
Well, not so fast.
At the same time, I have to tell you, I understand the necessity for technological improvement to make things more simple and all that.
No.
Oh, gosh, what's wrong with these people?
They just don't like fun, I think.
Well, I think that if the last 48 hours have taught us anything, it's that people are really, really passionate about this issue.
And so if you have a comment on this, leave us a comment on Twitter. I'm at Shai Ben Yaakov or at Annette JH. You see how I seamlessly went into the social call out there?
I love the way you did that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's it for the show. The Why is produced by me, Annette John Hall.
And me, Shai Ben Yaakov.
Also, Kelsey Hansen and Jen Kenny.
Also, thanks to engineer Mike Villers.
And Diana Martinez.
The news director is Eugene Son, and assistant news director is Katie Colinari.
Sandra Clark is Vice President of News and Civic Dialogue. John Musoni is Assistant Vice President of News Operations.
Ish Quintero composed our theme, along with a lot of the other music you hear on the show. Also, a special thanks to Radio Times for their audio.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
And don't forget to leave us a review.
I'm Annette John Hall.
And I'm Shai Ben Yaakov.
We'll be back Monday.